Welcome to the Monkey House. It's me, Matt Stewart. Just letting you know that me and Saran, our show, has moved. We're at the Grace Darling Hotel now at 7:15. We're in the final couple of weeks of the festival. We'd love to see you there. We had so much fun at the Chinese Museum, but now we're at a new venue. It's a pub. Let's have a beer. I'd love to see you there.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome to Primates, the podcast where we explore primates in popular culture from Chimp A all the way down to Chimp Z. This week, it's a little bit of a bonus episode where I'm going to be going through and doing some AMAs. Ask Matt anything. I'm Matt, host of the show, Matt Stewart. Welcome. We're coming up to the 100th episode where we're going to have a break after that. So this doesn't count in that number. This is just an extra little morsel of goodness. I'm taping it on my webcam as well, so it's possibly going to be up on my YouTube channel where I'm starting to put up bits and pieces on there, so please do check that out if that interests you at all, seeing what this dumb voice looks like. Well, it's coming out of a dumb head. So if you want to find that, it's youtube.com/Matt Stewart. So I'm going to be answering some questions I asked listeners and some of the Patreons to hit me up with some questions. I said they can be about anything at all, and I haven't read them yet. So I imagine, sorry, that I'm just having a couple of beers tonight as I go through this episode. This one's a Mr. Banks Oatmeal Stout. Cannot wait to taste its deliciousness, but that's by the by. So let's get into the questions. First one comes from Nick Lean. He asks, we all know your favourite state in America, but what's your favourite county in England? And if not Cornwall, then why? Okay. Well, everyone knows my favourite state in America, I'm guessing, is Ohio. Obviously, my favourite city is Gary, Indiana. My least favourite county of England, that's a tricky one. I would honestly have to say I have no idea. I've enjoyed all the places I've gone to, and I love a Cornish pasty. So, Nick, I'm afraid that I can't back you up there. I think Cornwall is not too bad. I spent, I think, a day there. Went on a day trip from Devon, where I spent a bit of time, a lifetime ago when I first went overseas. I spent a good month or two in Devon and had a great time and had a few day trips to Cornwall. And, yeah, no complaints. So sorry about that, Nick. I think Cornwall is pretty all right. Linda Moulton, who I know we met, we've met a few times. She's come to a few of my stand-up shows, and she's also, I believe, over in Thailand when Do Go On went over to do the Koh Samui podcast festival. Linda asks, if you could pick three non-human primates to be quarantined with, what would they be and why? Oh, what would they be? So that's sort of species-wise. Interesting question. I'd have to say, you know, you want some... You want some, probably you want some of the higher apes, you know, the ones slightly more evolved. If I should say I'm not a scientist, but I'd go with some of the classics. Bonobo, you know, maybe three bonobos. Is that possible? Because they're happy. They'll be boning each other, having a good time. If we get the chimps in, they'll probably start trouble. Even though unless Caesar was there from the Planet of the Apes reboots. Tricky question, Linda. I know you're trying to get me in a trap here. If I could have a preference, it would probably be to go with human primates. I know I'm sounding a little bit like Evan Munro Smith there, but yeah, just to hang out with for a long period of time. Tricky one. What about someone like a gorilla grod who's an intelligent gorilla, so much so, though, that he's quite evil. So, yeah, that's a sort of a poison chalice, that one, although maybe he'd be good conversationally. Jesse Martin asks, where did your original love of primates come from and why? Well, obviously, I love primates more than anything. I think the reason that this podcast started was because I really enjoyed, and I was surprised by how much I enjoyed, the Planet of the Apes reboot series. I don't think I'd thought about primates that much prior to that, but it really sparked something in me. And yeah, I love those films, and I've loved some of the other films we've talked about as well. Matilde McKinnis writes, favorite thing to do at Melbourne Zoo? Matilde writes that she's going to get a membership when the coronavirus is over, or the corner, as she calls it. Love that lingo. Well, I've been a few times. I'm a member there, so sorry to brag. I got the 3-park super pass. I'd say, geez, it's a tough one. The butterfly enclosure is pretty full on. That's fun. You go in there, it's a bit warmer, and the butterflies just get all over you. I quite like that. they're going to see the gorillas, obviously, a real thrill, seeing those big, beautiful beasts in action. I mean, probably not. Action's overstating it. Sort of in action. Seeing them in action is something to behold. Silverbacks and all. Loving that. Yeah. I've been there a few times and it's been pretty, a lot of chilled out animals. It does seem like one of the better zoos around. Not one of these sort of Tiger King roadside zoo type setups. But yeah, I'd recommend going and have a look, Matilde. And the membership is good value. You get to go to all three of the main Melbourne ones as much as you like throughout the year. And I think if you go 2 or 3 times in a year, it's bloody paid for itself. This message was not paid for by the zoos. Beck Taylor asks, favorite gig and why? That's a big question. I think for a long time I've said I went to a secret TISM gig when they were warming up for what became their last tour. It was at the Tote, like an iconic Melbourne pub and venue that's been around for 40 years. And that was amazing. It just felt so up close and personal. And the smallest venue that they would have played in, well, the smallest venue I ever saw them play in anyway. And yeah, that was amazing. But then on the other end of the scale, over the summer, I saw Cold Chisel, some people who listen to one of my other podcasts called Listen Now might know that I've had a bit of a love affair with Cold Chisel starting with that podcast. And I'd say that show blew my mind. It was amazing. And that was outside of Geelong. They were supported by Paul Kelly, and it was epic. Such a great night. They're two that come to mind. Nick Cave, I've seen a few times as well, has been pretty great at one in particular, maybe at the Sydney Meyer Music Bowl. I remember it was the first time I'd seen him play Jubilee Street live. And that just, you know, there's sometimes you feel like you're watching music and you feel like you're floating in the air. That was amazing. Bunch of old metal shows I've seen, which were pretty great. I remember Children of Bodom at the Corner Hotel was a real fun show. Suicidal Tendencies at, it's a joint in the city that changed its name so much I can't remember what it's called now, but what's that bloody, anyway, doesn't matter. That was another great show. Probably too many to mention really, but yeah, I've had a lot of great experiences at live music, a bunch of them at the Corner Hotel and the Hi-Fi Bar. Queens of the Stone Age a few times, always knock it out of the park. Eagles of Death Metal, it's a band related to them. Soundgarden at the Meyer Music Bowl. I don't know. The list goes on. I actually saw Belinda Carlisle at the Zoo. And that was pretty great too. I rarely see a bad show. Linda has come back with a second question. If you could learn to play any instrument, what would it be? Well, my shitty bass, which is sitting behind me somewhere over there, I'd love to be able to play that half decently. That would be really good, and I'm so close to it. There's also I inherited a piano and accordion from my pop. He was a great musician, and I gave it a bit of a crack, but Jesus, it was tough. From someone coming from no, you know, even basic musical experience, that was a battle. So I'm holding on to it. Hopefully they're going to find the time someday to really get into it, or give it to someone who will use it appropriately, you know, for what it deserves or whatever. Seamus Treya says, rank the Aussie states and territories from favourite to Queensland. That's another one who's put a state or county in the shit. More of a shot at Queensland than a question, really. That's a tough question. I love Queensland, Seamus. I don't think I could rank them, because I genuinely enjoy visiting all the Australian states and territories. Yeah, and Queensland is one of my favourite places to visit. Brisbane I get to a lot, and I love it. So sorry that I can't back you up there. There's sort of, yeah, I don't think there's any part of Australia that's way greater or way shitter than anywhere else necessarily, even though Queensland does cop it a bit. It's the most beautiful sort of beaches and forests and all this sort of stuff. And then Brisbane's a great metropolis. So I don't know. Tegan Longman asks, what's been some of your favorite episodes you've done of Primates and why? Off the top of my head, a couple of my favorites just from the guests. It's been pretty surreal. When Tony Martin was on with Josh Earle, that episode was great. He's a comedy hero of mine. And then Damien Cowell coming on to talk about the monkeys. He's the singer from TISM. So that was wild to be able to have him on. So they're definitely two of my favorites. I think some of the Getting Fruity episodes were so much fun. Or both of them, I've had a lot of fun. Or any of those episodes with Jackson and Adam are just, they're so joyous. I love hanging out with them. I'd say the Harry and the Hendersons episode was a lot of fun. That was right up there. So many that I've enjoyed. It's hard to split them, but there's a few definitely that come to front of mind. I love the ones with Al and Andy about the, what's his name? Robert Vince, the auteur. And I think, just between you and me, I think that's probably going to be 100. Episode 100 is going to be one last going around of a Robert Vince film called Spy Mate. Yeah. Sounds good. I can't wait to watch. Thanks, Tegan. Ben Johnson. I've met half these people. Tegan, I see up in... Tegan's from Brisbane. No, the Gold Coast, sorry. And she'd be furious about that Queensland bashing from earlier. Ben Johnson, Englishman, writes, how long will the primate hiatus be? And what about Getting Fruity? Thanks. It's a bit of an indefinite primatus at the moment, Ben. We'll see how we go. I'd love to come back to it after a while. I think we just need to give it a rest for a bit and, maybe even do a couple of episodes here and there. I'd love to maybe come back and do an episode about King Kong versus Godzilla, which is coming out later this year. I don't know, but I'll see. I have a funny feeling that no one's going to miss it and maybe it'll just get forgotten about. But if people bug me about it, I'm sure it'll come back before too long. And Getting Fruity, yeah. I got this vague idea about starting a podcast feed that's just doesn't have quite as many rules and limitations, and then I can just do a Getting Fruity 1 week. I mean, I do that on Primates anyway, but I don't know. I got to figure it out. But I'm looking forward to, we're going to start another season of Listen Now coming up, and I've been doing these Matt chats on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/Matt Stewart, and I'm hoping to do a few more of those, at least one a week for a little while. So, yeah, I've got a bunch of stuff going on. Thanks for asking. Cheers, Ben. David Brown asks, whose number was on your footy jumper as a kid and what footy team does Evan support? Oh, I wish Evan was here. I mean, in my shed. I did try and record this with Evan earlier today, but he is flat chat with a bunch of editing work that he's got. It's stupid old, unfortunately. I'm pretty sure I've asked him before, and he absolutely has no interest in football, but I'm pretty sure he's a Saints supporter. So that's kind of cool. And my jumper, the first one I ever had, at least, which I had for a few years, was number 4. And it was actually Stephen Kernahan from the Carlton Football Club, who I barracked for the first few years of my life before we moved to Melbourne. And one of my uncles took me aside and he said, "Hey, Matt, you don't go for Carlton anymore. You go for St. Kilda." And I said, "Oh, okay, John." And my mum, who's a Carlton supporter, must have broken her heart. She's the only other person in the family who actually gives a shit about football. She unstitched the number 4 off the back of the Carlton jumper and stitched it onto a Saints jumper, and it became Tony Plugger Lockett's, the legendary all-time greatest goal kicker in football. So very lucky to have been going to those games in the early 90s and seeing him in action. Timothy Williams asks he's telling me. Here are another 3 bad monkey jokes. Thanks, Tim. Number 1. What do you call a monkey in a tree? The branch manager. All right. Number 2. Where do monkeys go to drink? The monkey bars. And finally, how do you catch a monkey? Climb a tree and act like a banana. That is good stuff. I don't know if I'm starved for live comedy right now, but that's funny, and funny is funny. You can't argue with that. Oh, and he says a quick quote to finish off. Monkey see, monkey do, monkey pee, monkey poo. Thank you and good night. That is a tight set, Tim. I think that should definitely open up your next comedy special. Connor Tyrrell asks, if you couldn't have been a self-made amateur primatologist, what would your ideal career have been? Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I feel like I'm partially doing it with comedy and the other bits and pieces. Just I'm doing what I want to be doing, which I feel very lucky. I've growing up, I had a bunch of different ideas of what I wanted to be. I hadn't, no idea what reality was, but that changed a lot. I used to love drawing. So a teacher who thought they were helping me told me I should become an architect because they draw, and which is wild advice to look back on. You know how you love creating and drawing? Well, here's a job that you get to draw lines and stuff and take measurements. I mean, not that architecture isn't creative, but it's very different to what I was keen on. But anyway, as a kid, I was very suggestible. And I said, "Oh, okay, sir," or whoever it was. And that was my career goal briefly. Nick Brennan. Sorry, I'll keep moving through these because there are. I'm just realizing there's quite a few of them. Nick asks, which guest did you enjoy the most on the show? That's tricky, but I think I kind of answered that before. But, every guest I've had on has been either a good friend or a hero, so I've enjoyed them all. And he also asked, do you think you'll be able to get Erica Fleury on again before your hiatus? I hope so, yeah. We've been talking about it, and she's keen, so we just have to find a time. But I'm pretty sure that'll happen. And hopefully I'll get her on the Matt Chat show as well, if she's up for that. She's one of my favorite guests as well. It's cool to have someone on who knows what they're talking about. Which is a nice change. I think that's very possible. Matthew Webb, one of the great men of the Melbourne comedy scene, asks 2 words, circus watch. All right, let me Google, see what Andy's been up to. No one's been getting onto me lately about him much. Okay. He's always in the news. But there's an article from 18 minutes ago. This is hot off the press. And it's from Broadway World. And it says, Andy Serkis will read the entirety of The Hobbit online for charity. Andy Serkis has announced that he will be doing a live reading of the entirety of J.R.R. Tolkien's novel The Hobbit online for charity. Quote, so many of us are struggling in isolation during the lockdown, Serkis said, in the video announcement posted on social media. While times are tough, I want to take you on one of the greatest fantasy adventures ever written. A 12-hour armchair marathon across Middle Earth whilst raising money for two amazing charities, which are doing extraordinary work right now to help those most in need. What a bloody legend, Andy Serkis. Charities are NHS Charities Together and Best Beginnings. So, yeah, look that up if you're keen on that. If you're listening to this straight away, it's going to be coming up today, I think. Friday, English time. And I'll be posting this Thursday night, Australia time. So, yeah, if you're keen, that sounds fun. Thank you, Matthew, for that question. Siraj Peris asks, and Siraj, one of the great supporters of the show, he writes, aside from live streams, obviously, what activity have you taken up during lockdown that you would continue when things are normal, in inverted commas? Also, live streams. I think, for those who don't know, with Do Go On, one of the other podcasts I do, we did some live streams because all our live shows were cancelled. We had a heap of tours and live shows planned this year, so instead we were able to put on these live streams, which was so much fun. We all love doing them, and I think a lot of people watching seem to really enjoy them as well. And I think we will do more of that later, even after lockdown, I think. What else have I been doing that I might do? I'm trying to exercise more frequently. And I've always tried to exercise more frequently, but I hopefully will use this momentum where I've had night times free or more free to go for runs and that sort of stuff. And I'll keep that up once I get out. What else? I'm doing some of this YouTube stuff as well. I think I'll keep going with some of that. It's sort of been fun. I just didn't have the time to do that before lockdown. So it's been fun to be able to try and learn a few other skills, like a bit of light editing and that sort of stuff. I'm no Evan Munro Smith, but I'm working on it. Yeah, thanks, Siraj. Scott Coventry writes, we know you love primates. Scott, you know it. Nothing could be clearer that I definitely love primates. But if you had to make a podcast about your second favorite animals in popular culture, what would it be? Well, you know, this might just be me, but I actually think humans are the real animals. Do you think we could make a podcast about them, humans in popular culture? It feels just so crazy it might work. The obvious one would be dogs. I've never had a dog. I don't have a real interest in dogs. I like meeting them occasionally, but that can be fun in film. What other birds? Birds in film? Maybe. It's a bloody good question. I think someone suggested a while back that I'd do a spin-off show called Marsupi Pals, and it'd be all about marsupials. Skippy the bush kangaroo, Rocky from the wallaby from Rocco, from Rocco's Modern Life. The list goes on. I reckon it could almost be a 10-episode series, probably. The episode of The Simpsons about the opossums. I wonder if American possums are also marsupials. Surely. Be too much of a coincidence. Even though they are way uglier. Yeah, that's right. We got pretty cute possums in Australia. Oliver. Oh, no. Couple beers down and things are getting a little looser. Oliver Petterplatt writes, what will you be doing during your time off from primates? Got ideas for... I'm trying to think about that. You know, I love starting things up and I'm pretty good at committing to them. So it just how much time I've got to commit to all these different things. Bringing Listen Now back for another season is obviously going to take up a chunk of time. Doing the video interviews. But I do have some plans. Maybe it won't be weekly or I'm not sure, but this concept for a show called Who Knew It with Matt Stewart, and it'll be about a different broad topic each week, and I'd have guests on, and I'd get the listeners to send in facts through a form about a different topic each week, and then I'd read through the facts with some funny guests, and we'd just sort of bounce off these facts, tell some stories related, and then finish with a quiz. I think that's a cool idea for a show. hardly groundbreaking, but I think it could be really good fun, and it would also give the opportunity to do about any topics, which I like the idea of, including primates, of course, or a new movie comes out that I want to talk about, or, you know, the grand finals come up in the footy, or, a band's just broken up. We could do, you know, it could be about anything. I'm thinking in my head, the obvious ones like countries, you know, topics that are too big for do go on. Maybe an episode would be about Italy. So it's just facts about Italy. That is not a great pitch. I reckon if I ever get around to making the show, it'll be better than it sounds, hopefully. Cheers, Oliver. Zoe Florence writes, would you rather, okay, fun, would you rather have opposable toes or be the only person on Earth to have them? Wait, hang on, let me try again. Have opposable toes and be the only person on Earth to have them, or have everybody be born with a tail? If I had a tail, yeah, all right, everybody has a tail, or have opposable toes and be the only one. I mean, yeah, the good thing about the toe thing is you could just, you know, you can hide them in socks and shoes if you're shy about it. And they'd do so much for you, but would people see you as a freak? And who gives a fuck if they did? I'm taking the toes, baby. Sorry to call you baby, Zoe. That was more of a, you know, a baby to the world rather than you in particular. Great question, though. But I think I'm going for the toes. Liz Lefefa. She's got a fantastic name. Writes, you, Dave, and Jess. So these are the other hosts from Do Go On. Swap jobs / lives for a week. Which of their jobs would you want to do? And would you choose to live with Jess's partner or Dave's dog? Okay, well, they both have great jobs. Jess works on the radio at Triple J, which is, growing up, was one of my favorite radio stations. So that would be a real dream. Being an old man now, I think I've sort of had that pass me by, but because it's a youth radio station. But yeah, that'd be really cool if I could magic my way in there. But Dave works at the project. It's like one of the, you know, the it's the only 6-night a week comedy show in Australia. So comedy news, it's news done differently, if I can put it in those sort of terms. And he gets to write and work with great comedians on that as well. I mean, both great jobs. I'd take either of those, really. Jess's partner, he's an amazing guy. Would love to live with him. Dave's dog, also great. This is a tough call. How about I say I'll live with Jess's partner and do Dave's dog? But I could, vice versa, I'd be equally happy. Great question, Liz. You've sort of got the would you rather thing wrong, because they're both meant to be fucked options. But you gave me two great options. I'd be happy either way. Philip Vborn writes, how do you make a successful podcast about primates in popular culture from Shimpan A all the way to Shimpan ooh, as we say in Sweden? It's pronounced ooh. So there's, I mean, you can't see me reading that, but he's written some of those words differently. Shimpans with an S instead of the chimpanzee thing. That's good fun. I want to go to Sweden. I want to be able to say that in Sweden to a chimpanzee. Chimpanu. Thank you, Phil. Oh, how do I make a successful podcast? I don't know. Let me know. If you find out how to make a successful podcast about primates and popular culture, let me know, and I will get onto that. I'd love to do one. Jordan Nassi writes, not a question, but you should listen to Sabaton. Sabaton, they're an incredible Swedish metal band. Thank you, Jordan, for the tip. I know they do metal pretty well up there. Isaac Kingy writes, if your superpower was to transform into any primates, which would you choose? Any primates. If your superpower was to transform into any primates, which would you choose? I guess. I mean, it depends on the scenario. Probably Caesar from the rebooted Planet of the Apes. Great leader, great man. I'd have Andy Serkis controlling me. I love everything about that scenario. Isaac, great question. And I don't want to sound arrogant, but great answer. Jordan asks, well, Jordan's gone nuts here. I'm going to have to keep moving, Jordan, but I'll see if I can just get through some of these fast for you. Jor, he asks, cats or dogs? I live with a cat. I'll say cats, but I like them. And, you know, I'm relatively ambivalent about both, but I feel I don't dislike them. I don't feel passionate on that one. But, yeah, both feel good. In the wild, you know, you got they're the ones that maybe interest me more. The big cats, how sick are they? And then, like, wild dogs and stuff. There was this story about the 1904 Olympic marathon where one of the runners got chased off course by a pack of wild dogs. And, yeah, that's a fun anecdote. Anyway, he also asked, what is your dream car? I just came back from a run earlier this evening, and I saw one of them. It was a late 60s Ford Falcon. But I reckon anywhere from the late 60s through to late 70s, any of those Falcons I'd take. So many beautiful cars in that era. And I think I'm going to make it happen one day if I ever get some money and time to work on a really old car and learn how to work on a really old car. Did I have any childhood pets? No, never had a pet. My sister had some fish briefly, which if my show wasn't cancelled this year, I talked about that, funnily enough. He also asks, stand-up show that is, but maybe I think some of that material will carry over to next year. First thing you'll do when quarantine is over? I don't know, probably similar. It won't be that far different, but I am looking forward to catching up with some friends that I haven't been able to see in person, go to a pub. Yeah, these sorts of things. Just probably pretty boring answers, really. But go to the movies will be nice. Where's Getting Fruity with Matt and the Boys at that? I'm hoping to do one last one on the Primates feed if I can get the others into it. But I find that doing podcasts via streaming on Zoom or whatever, one-on-one works okay, but the more you get in, the clumsier it feels. So doing it with four of us, I think that's going to be tricky. I'd love to do it in the same room as them. And the way Australia is going, that might be possible sooner rather than later, but I'm not going to be jumping ahead of the advice on that for sure. I'm going to be pretty conservative with that sort of stuff, I think. Callum Phil writes, favorite Queens of the Stone Age record? Ooh, the one that it's hard to go past Rated R, Songs for the Deaf is probably their best album, I guess, but I think they're so consistent. I think Era Vulgaris, which is probably seen as one of their worst albums, I think is awesome, which, yeah, is probably unpopular opinion. I'm not afraid to say it, I'm a shock jock. Lullabies to Paralyze was the one that probably... Well, that was the first tour that I saw them on. So the other one sort of holds a special place in my heart. And I had that playing in headphones when I had my wisdom teeth taken out. That's a fun anecdote. Favorite new bands in general? Okay. Good question. I love Amel and the Sniffers. They're relatively new. Just had one album out. They're a local band who are very fun. Sort of garagey, pub rocky, punky band. That's been Idols, relatively new. They're not super new, and they're not bands that everyone's heard of those guys, probably. But yeah, good question, Callum, without notice. I really wish I read some of these ahead of time so I could have some more time to think about it. Jordan, again, geez, Jordan, you got some questions. He asks, any tips for an incredibly boring job? I've done a few of those. I worked at a supermarket for 9 years when I was a kid, and I used to listen to... So I'd mentioned before that I had Tony Martin on the show a while back. I used to have headphones in the mid... When he was... He used to do a show called Get This, which is sort of an iconic, cult iconic radio show in Australia that was on, I guess, 10-ish years ago. And yeah, I'd listen to that, and that really got me through some of those push and trolley shifts. But it depends on your job. If you can listen to stuff, that definitely helps pass time for me. or, you know, think about dreams. Think about where you want to be and what you want to do and how you can get there. Depends on what the job is. If it's something, if you find, you know, being a surgeon boring, I'd just focus on saving that life. Really. But I'm guessing that's not what you're meaning by boring job. I'm not sure. Juliet Curran asks, if you had to choose a primate besides human to play for the Saints, which would play the best and the worst? I guess you want, I mean, there's a stereotype of the big fullbacks. They call them the big gorillas. So I reckon a gorilla as a big big fullback defender would be a good call. I'd say the worst would be something like a pygmy marmoset. They'd get absolutely dominated on the ball. I bet you they could hardly even get their hands on the ball. Like, literally wouldn't be able to. The balls are pretty big. So good question, though. Juliet also asks, if you could have a pet monkey, would you? No, I wouldn't. I think that's a bit off. And I've learnt that more and more through talking to Erica Fleury from the NAPSA. And yeah, I wasn't fully ignorant about it before, but I do, you know, I try to be good to animals. And yeah, it sounds like pet monkeys is a real no-no. So, I mean, even though, yeah, I can see why it sounds fun, but it just makes no sense. It's, yeah. What I would do is have Andy Serkis in a ball suit playing a 3D monkey in my house. Yes, that I would do for sure, Juliet. And she also asks, what band you love had an album you hated? The one that comes front of mind, I was just had music playing on shuffle earlier today, and Saint Anger came on by Metallica. I really tried to like that album. I even think I convinced myself I liked it for a while, but yeah, that I think I'd like every other album of theirs. To, you know, it's all on a spectrum. They're great stuff, some of the greatest metal ever made. And then they've got some stuff that's a bit lower, like, you know, some of that 90s stuff I didn't love. But Saint Anger, that's a hard listen, I'd say. So that's what comes first to mind. There'd be other ones in there for sure. Nathan Bauer asks, do you think Evan is a speciesist and that's why he simply refuses to admit that any ape is better than Andy from Toy Story despite the overwhelming amount of evidence? Wish Evan was here. But yes, I think he is speciesist. I think, Nathan, you've got him, and I wish he was here as well so that he would have to answer that. But unfortunately, like a coward, he is working on something that probably matters more than this. Nick Flanders Farmer asks, what are your biggest regrets with the pod? I'm not sure. Maybe planning it out a bit more so that I wouldn't be getting to this 100th episode coming up and having missed a bunch of episodes, you know, topics that would have been cool to do. I think of stuff like, and maybe I'll still have time to squeeze this one in, but like the Indiana Jones apparently has some iconic monkey stuff. The flying monkeys from Wizard of Oz, those sort of things. I just wish I maybe planned it out a little bit better, but by the same token, maybe it's cool to have those up my sleeve for when we reboot it sometime down into the future. But yeah, I'm not sure about regrets. I always have regrets about everything. Sometimes I think, and I imagine some people would disagree with this, but I find that when we talk about movies, the episodes get really bogged down in recapping the plot. And I think that, like, it just feels like, what's the point of this, you know? I feel like it's more fun when we're just riffing and chatting about the topic rather than going, and then this happened, and then this happened, and... But I don't know. It's sometimes that works well, and sometimes it feels like it's a slog. So, yeah, there's some fragments of ideas. Thank you, Nick. Sarah Rayfield asks, is there anything that the audience does during live shows that really annoys you? Like, does it get old to have to pause for a good year? Oh, this is for Do Go On. I've never done a Primates live show. Although I was talking to Evan about doing a live stream for Primates before we wrap up. I don't know if anyone would be keen on that, but that could be fun. Yeah, so there's a few sort of catchphrases. I don't think that happens as much anymore, Sarah. The having a pause for a good year. maybe other than the lady who was convinced you... So there was a Do Go On live show in London where a woman in the audience thought I looked like her brother and she kept interrupting to say that. I didn't mind. I thought that was... in the room, it was... I feel like it was okay, but yeah, I can see why that might be a bit tedious listening back. Maybe that's more on us as editors, but I kind of enjoy some audience interactions. But yeah, I think as a podcast, it does maybe hurt the listener experience. And I guess that's one of the cool things about the live streams recently. We were able to put them up as episodes. We got the buzz of doing it live. And I think people who listen to the recent Do Go On episodes have said that they're some of the best ones we've done in ages. And I think that maybe that was something to do with the energy of knowing we were being watched live, but we weren't sort of having to do the catchphrase things and the pauses and stuff. I don't know what I'm talking about, but if that makes any sense. And then finally she asks, Sarah, if you had to choose between stand-up or podcasting, which would you choose and why? That's a tough call. I feel like they go hand in hand a little bit. Most stand-ups have a podcast these days, and I love doing them both. I find podcasting, the highs and lows of stand-up are a lot bigger. It can suck sometimes. It's going to be some of the most brutal stuff ever, but also the highs are wild when you're on top of things. Podcasting is just always fun to me. So that's tricky. I mean, conservative, you go, podcasting, I'll just do the thing that I know I enjoy all the time. That is a tough call. And I don't know if I can make a decision on that. But yeah, there's certainly pros and cons either way. Podcasting, I never feel stressed or anxious about. Stand up, I often feel stressed and anxious about. So, tricky call, that one. But thanks for the question. Made me think. And I mean, that's the interesting thing about the lockdown. Had a chance to think about all those sort of things, especially having some time away from stand-up. Go from some days going, oh, I miss it so much, I want to be doing it tonight, and other times you go, oh, I haven't even thought about it in a couple of days. So, and I know different people will be different. Some people will be like absolutely itching to do it, and others might even go, actually, I realize I don't need to do it. I feel better without it. So yeah, it's stand-up, it's a funny old world. Makes you feel a lot of things. Jared M. Schaffer writes, how much of Australia have you traveled to? Do you have any favorite regions to visit or vacation? I've been to all the capital cities. And I've been around country Victoria a lot more than anywhere else, but I've, you know, toured around a little bit of New South Wales and bits and pieces of Queensland. I haven't been particularly far north. So FNQ would be interesting to get to, but I love the Alpine region of Victoria is a place I love to get up to for holidays. Tasmania I love to get down to. Hobart's one of my favorite cities. Brisbane I think is one of the funnest places, even though it doesn't have that reputation. I really enjoy getting to Brisbane. Sydney as well. I think I enjoy them all. And because it's such a wide country, wide, and, you know, it's the sixth largest by area in the world. Did you know that? Top five being, I think in order, Russia, Canada, United States, China, Brazil, and Australia. That might not quite be right, but it's a big, big, wide country, and so you can go. There's tropical areas. There's quite cold areas down south in Tasmania, deserts, and you know whatever you like. So. Yeah, I guess it depends on the mood and the time of year and all that sort of thing. But yeah, I do. I've got around Australia a bit and I quite like it. But I love traveling. I love seeing new places. That's one of the big thrills of working in comedy and this the podcasts, getting to travel around. It's a thrill. Nonstop. Love it. Love to travel. Andy Conduit Turner writes, if you had the power to snap your fingers and release all apes currently in captivity forever, would you do it? I'd say yes. But the question goes on. Imagine there's a twist here. For the sake of argument, your finger snap is magic, so all apes in captivity, because they are sick, would be healed, and zookeepers, scientists, and etc. would be magically forbidden from recapturing or shooting the apes. Any other disastrous consequences of suddenly releasing all captive apes into an unsuspecting world still happen? Yeah, I say do it. Hopefully you're talking about releasing them back into their natural habitat, not just like outside the zoo in capital cities. But yeah, they're all healed. They're all good. Shoot. I don't know if you're talking about, I mean, it really depends there if you're saying they'll naturally be able to adapt to a wildlife living in the wild. Because if that's, if you're saying they might, because some, if they're not ready for that, some of them would just die. So that's a tricky question, Andy. I'd say yes, assuming you mean that they'll be ready for the wild. But I imagine the fact that you're asking the question means that no. So that tricky one. Thank you, Andy, for making me feel happy and sad all at once. He goes on to say, what did you originally study before entering the field of primatology? Do you actually use it in your job today? Sort of. I did a degree which was double major in criminology, which I do not use, and media and communications, which I sort of, you could argue that some of the stuff I do is sort of media and communications adjacent. Yeah, but no, not, it's not super relevant, I wouldn't say. Taylor Harris Edgar writes, who would win in a fight? Caesar's army from Dawn of the Planet of the Apes or the 1966 Grand Final Saints? Whew, geez, imagine that. Caesar going head to head with Cowboy Neil. It'd be a pretty good battle, but I'd have to say that the Caesar's army would beat a team of semi-professional footballers from the 60s. Unless, of course, the fight was was like sports related. Because I think the Saints were pretty handy on field back then. Jorge Fernando writes, how did Stupid Old Studios come to be? Group of friends decided to start a company. When did you first meet Evan? Yes, that is basically right. We all met. So there's five of us who were co-directors, I guess. That's me, Evan Munro-Smith, the second banana, and Alistair and Andy from Two in the Think Tank, and Beck Petratus from, well, lots of things, including Gamey Gamey Game. We all met at a student radio and media organization called SIN in Melbourne. And it's a great place. I would highly recommend if anyone's around Melbourne to and interested to get involved there. You can, I think it's from, maybe it's from 12 to 25. So we all met there and, we bumped into each other at bits and pieces. This is over 10 years ago now. And, but eventually the thing that really brought us together was there was a community TV show that they did called Get Serial TV. An hour of live TV every morning from, I think it was from 8 till 9. And Evan was the executive producer of the show. And Alistair and I hosted a season. And the following season was hosted by Beck and Andy. So, yeah. And I can't remember the exact details, but I think it was Andy and Evan were tossing around this idea of starting a studio, which we did. We got a 5-year lease on the studio. We hunted around for a little while. It was a pretty wild idea, really. Pretty young and it was quite a full-on lease. A few of us lived there to help sort of bring the costs down because we were all working in other jobs and stuff at the time. I was selling air conditioning. And, so that's how it started. We've moved buildings since then, not too far away. And it's all become a little bit more legit. No one lives there anymore. But yeah, did that answer the question? How did it come to be? When I fit? Yeah, I think that answers that. Thanks, Haraj.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Jessica Gillette Sheetha. like I say all the time, but geez, how good are the names of the listeners to this show and the other ones I do? Jessica writes, if you had to choose one song that plays every time you walk or strut somewhere for the rest of your life, which song would it be? Whoa, strutting song. Great question. I'm sure I've got a strutting playlist somewhere on my Spotify. I would say, I think Burn Baby Burn, Disco Inferno, which is like an old disco song, would be a pretty good one. It goes for about 12 minutes, I think. And it's a very strutty kind of tune anyway. Who's that by? That's by the Tramps, I think. Maybe a Pantera track like Walk would feel appropriate. That's also a very, it's a sort of a slower groove. Yeah. Oh, that's a good question. I feel like I could give you many answers, but they're the first two that came to mind, and I'd love to strut around to those. And why walk when you can strut? I've always said that. Broderick Henry asks, when can we expect an ape uprising? It feels imminent, Broderick. You know, it just takes one mystery serum to spill into the wrong enclosure, and it's all over for us. And I feel like that could happen any day now. Whether it should or not, I feel like hopefully it doesn't, because, you know, I like living and whatnot. But, you know, we've had a good run, humans. And Amy Meme Wetherington Rainford, fantastic name. Really hope that's your name on your birth certificate. Right. If you could live in any other country in the world, where would it be and why? Very good question. That's tricky. I haven't been to every other country in the world by any stretch, so that's a tough one. I think of places that are maybe, depends on what I'm wanting to do with my life. I'm still trying to pursue comedy and whatnot. America's sort of the mecca of that, or maybe Great Britain are two hot spots of the English speaking comedy world. America's got some stuff that, you know, lack of healthcare and stuff would be a hard adjustment to make. Like, it's definitely a weight off to not be worried if I get sick that I'll, you know, be in crippling debt. Sorry to get political, but that's just something I would probably have to consider. But then maybe you go to Canada, who does have healthcare and also has a strong comedy scene, and you can always, you can drive. That's the thing about Canada and the United States. You can drive between those two. I don't know. It's a tough call. New Zealand's cool as well. That's very close by. Yeah, a tricky one for sure. But, you know, New York City, living there is definitely a dream. So I'd have to weigh it all up. Great question, Amy. That's what I'm going to think about when I go to sleep tonight, I reckon. That's a good thing to think about when you're bored at your job as well. Who asked that earlier? Jordan, I think. Yeah, where would you live? Great question. All right. There's more to go. I'm around halfway. So feel free to pause and come back to this. If this is, I'm going to answer everyone because, ooh, hello. I feel like I owe you at least that. Dean Cooley writes, do you have a least favorite primate? I would say no, I do not, Dean. I think there are some pretty freaky looking ones, but, you know, it's not their fault they look like that. You know, like the ones whose lip goes away almost over their whole head when they lift it up. And I don't love looking at them, but, you know, they were born that way. Can't blame them. Ashley Dickinson asks, oh no, doesn't ask. Not a question, but an apology for derailing the primate shout outs by talking to Adrian. Sorry, boss. I have a hard time following the instructions. Hey, Ashley, if it makes you feel any better, you've derailed this AMA as well with a statement, but I appreciate that apology very much. Thank you. Means a lot. Harry Green asks, what's your scariest real wildlife encounter, ape or otherwise? Honestly, for those outside of Australia, you probably think I have a lot of them, but it really, you know, it doesn't happen. It's very rare. I'm trying to think if I've ever had a time where I've been particularly scared by wildlife. You know, as a kid, living in the country, there were a few more snakes around, so maybe that was the closest. I remember one time I was freaked out by the snake in the backyard. I would have been like 3 years old, and I imagine I would have made a real scene about it. And my dad or my mum came out and was like, "Oh, that's just a big lizard, mate. You're all right." I can't think of a time where I've, you know, Melbourne's very urban, and there's just, I mean, you see spiders, but I don't feel afraid of spiders. They're so little. And even the big ones are still way smaller than me. Sean Gallagher writes, "As a fellow beer lover," cheers, "I was wondering, do you have a favourite type of beer? I'm an East Coast IPA guy, but also love an Imperial Stout." Well, I'm drinking an Imperial Stout, for those that don't know, is just like a big stout. I believe the higher alcohol sort of stout. So they're, I like them too. I also like the East Coast IPA, which is the New England IPA, I'm guessing is what you're saying, the NEIPA. I like them too very much. Hazy IPAs are great. Yeah, it depends on the time of year. It's winter time now, so I'm drinking a few more stouts. But probably safe bet, if I was going to say broadly, it would be pale ales and IPAs, but I'm also loving some of them fruity gozes. Ghosts. Jeez, that's a word that I do not know how to pronounce. G-O-S-E. Every time I ask a different barman, they tell me something different. But yeah, I love those. I'd say, but if I was going to say, if I could have one kind of beer the rest of my life, it'd probably be pale ale or IPA, I think. Yeah. But yeah, if you're going more specific, the East Coast IPA. For sure. And the big stouts in the wintertime. Love those as well. Thank you, Sean, for the question. Cheers. Beck asks, because I don't edit this podcast, that sip will still stay in the audio cut. So apologies for that tedium. Beck Taylor writes, "Favorite Melbourne pub? Mine closed over a year ago and I still haven't found a replacement." Oh, the Reverence in Footscray. There was a monthly comedy room there that I did a bunch of times. It's a great pub. The owners there, because they used to have the Art House in the City, which is another cool pub. I'm pretty sure they've started, or they were about to start, a new one before quarantine. I'm a bit out of touch, but yeah, I love a lot of pubs around town. Normally, if they've got a good variety of beers and play some sort of rock and music, they're the kinds that I prefer. Corner Hotel's a great venue, gig venue, as I said before, you know, sort of like a medium to larger bands, not larger, but you know, in the small, larger bands in the small scene. Does that make sense? Yes. What would I say? My favorite pubs. It's funny. It's only been a couple of months, but I'm struggling to remember where even my regulars would be. I really like Catfish in Fitzroy. I mean, often the pubs I hang out in have a comedy room on there, but that's got great beers and cool music, and it's a great comedy venue on Tuesday nights. Hopefully be back again before long. Yeah, so that'd be right up there, I think. The local in St Kilda, another, you know, a lot of great beers on and whatnot. But yeah, the Reverence was awesome. I loved the Reverence very much. So yeah, that kind of vibe. Basically the Reverence vibe with, you know, a few different interesting beers on tap and some rock and roll playing through the speakers. That's my kind of thing. Sean Gallagher, back again with another question. Says, "If I had the choice to quarantine with any primate, what would it be?" Did I answer this before? I said bonobos. This is on a different thread, so Sean wouldn't have seen that other question. But yeah, I'm thinking I'm going to have to stick with bonobos. There's so many options, and I'm sure there are reasons why this is a bad idea. But I also assume that I'll be going to... Am I quarantining with them, or are they coming into my place? I don't know if I have the room for three big bonobos, but who knows? Santiago Romero, what a name, asks, "What's the first thing you're going to do once you can freely leave your house?" Yes. I briefly answered this before, but again, I think it would be something like getting out and, going to the pub is probably, what a dull answer, but it'll be cool to be able to do that. It's funny because it's like as soon as you're able to do it, I don't know if I'll be doing it straight away. I feel like when I feel confident that everyone's safe and it's not gonna. It's hard to know. It just depends on how the feeling, if it feels like we haven't gone too early on it or not. But I can't wait to the feeling of being able to go out and feeling like, you know, you're not putting anyone at risk by doing it. That's going to be the nicest feeling, just going out anywhere and just feeling like, you know, looking at people and smiling and stuff. It sounds like the footy's gone for the rest of the year, at least for crowds attending. But, that's going to be cool to get back to a game next year, fingers crossed. And traveling again, although that feels like that's the, especially internationally, that's miles away, I think. So, I'd love to get on a plane again, get overseas somewhere. Calvin Parker writes, who made the best animated ape, Andy Serkis in Planet of the Apes trilogy or Rosie O'Donnell in 1999's Tarzan? Also, how good is that Phil Collins song from Tarzan? Fabulous Phil did a great job on that soundtrack. There are a couple of absolute belters, no doubt. No doubt about that. I would have to say, and I've put this on the record multiple times before, but I'd have to say Andy Serkis. Even though Rosie O'Donnell does a fine job with that friend, a gorilla, I think. It was, you know, pretty good as well. Simon Morgan. It's a great Simon Morgan. Awesome artist who people following primates and do go on social media would have seen his work as we retweet it most weeks. He writes, has there been anything that you won't have time to talk about on primates that you would have liked to? Yeah, well, I think this first time around, the first that come to mind are in Indiana Jones, The Wizard of Oz. I'd love, just having done the original Planet of the Apes last week, I'd love to go through those sequels from the original run. They sound wild, and I would really enjoy being able to do those. There's heaps of others. Other bands. I think we did the Monkees and the Gorillaz. There's other bands that we could have done, Arctic Monkeys. I enjoyed those music episodes as well. So yeah, there's still a bunch there in the bank to go back to down the track, hopefully. Declan Greville asks, if you could create a primates based music festival, who would be on the bill? Past or present? Personally, I would love to see headliners being Gorillaz, the Arctic Monkeys, and the Monkees, for old time's sake. Honestly, you've taken three of the big ones there. Who else would you have on? I know there's one of the members of Korn, his name Monkey, I think. Would you have them on the lineup though? That's another question. I'm trying to think quickly. Why can't I think of other bands that have primates in their names? Damn it. I think you've nutted it. Sorry, Declan. My brain's not working quick enough, but they're the three ones that would have come to my mind first as well. Simon is back for another question. He says, when was the last time Matt was completely clean shaven? And has Evan ever gone full beard? Evan definitely has gone full beard before. Or at least, you know, I reckon a month or two's worth. And it comes out nice and ginger, as it should, as any real beard does. Last time I was completely clean shaven, I think, was that I remember six at my birthday. I dressed up as Bruce Springsteen at a birthday party. And I shaved for that. It was just after I got back from America. So I remember that pretty well. Maybe I've done it once since. Back then, it's funny because beards only relatively recently have become socially acceptable. You know, in the last 5 or 6 years, you know, it comes in waves, comes and goes. But there was a wedding I was in a groomsman. I was a groomsman for a wedding. And I said, you wouldn't even bother asking now because they wouldn't give a shit. But back then I said, oh, do you want me to shave? Are you happy for me to keep a beard or whatever? And they were like, oh, I'd prefer you to shave if you can, which is a wild idea now. And you'd be like, fuck off. But I asked the question, so why am I telling them to fuck off? So they, yeah, and I'm like, all right, it didn't worry me, but yeah, those photos are fucking woeful. real bad. Some of the, yeah. I mean, that's my face I'm talking about. But yeah, it's no good under there. So all better to keep it covered up. Stephen Jones asks, if you had to choose any other animal order, such species to a pod on, what would it be? Well, I think, I wish I could remember who suggested it, but Marsupipals has got to be the one, right? And Just James, that is what the pun name would be. But yeah, what else could there be? Could you build one around orcas from the Free Willy franchise? Might be relatively short run. Sea animals, you could call it, you know, some sort of under the sea little mermaid spin-off thing going on. I'm not sure, but yeah, I think the marsupials would be fun. There's a few kangaroo films, Kangaroo Jack. I imagine they're all awful too. Though Rocco's Modern Life holds a special place in my heart. Nick Fidian writes, is there a frequently requested show or film that you have little or no interest in covering? There are a few that I've never heard of, but we normally do them if enough people ask, you know, like Zubumufu or whatever it's called. I'd never heard of that, so I didn't really have any interest in it because I didn't know it. But enough people asked, I ended up going, all right, let's do this. Yeah, Curious George, a few people have asked, and if we were still going for a little bit longer, we probably would have got to that. Yeah, but, you know, normally I'm like, I'm up for whatever. Pretty chill about it. Ronan O'Neill, if you had to remake one of the films or TV shows covered on the show, which would it be? Only allowed to use yourself and previous guests. I feel like any of the good ones I wouldn't want to redo and recast. You know, why would you? They're already good. Maybe it would be fun to do one of the MVP films, Most Vertical Primate. Could be a lot of fun. I don't know who you'd get in the chimpanzee role. Probably someone like Alistair Tremblay-Birchall. I think he'd be a great chimp. Alistair Chimplay-Birchall, more like it, am I right? But yeah, I think that'd be fun. Liam Tasker, which primate would you most like to hug? The orangutans have got great hugging arms, I think. And I think they'd see me as friend, not foe, because of my ginger face and hair. Detective Herbert Covington, one of the great listeners. You're all great listeners. Why did I try and put someone ahead of the rest? Anyway, Detective asks, you're given the opportunity by James Gunn to curate the track listing on Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. What tracks are going in there and why? I mean, I love this question, but without notice, it is trickier for me. They're sort of usually classic songs from, I don't know, what's the era? I guess it's 80s, is it? 70s, 80s? I'd love to have some Aussie stuff on there. Be real fun to have some Tism, Defecate on My Face, or you probably couldn't get away with that, to be honest, but maybe what's one that, maybe Martin Scorsese. It's already very cinematic, singing about Martin Scorsese and Robert De Niro, and that's super catchy tune. I'd love to have some Chisel on there. Maybe what's one of their poppier ones? Like My Baby, so one of their catchy poppy tunes. Who else? Belinda Carlisle. How could you go wrong with Leave a Light On? Banger. That is a pop rock banger. I don't know how many tracks you're expecting me to pull out here, Detective. Send me a tweet or something and I'll get back to you with a full list. Give me more stipulations or whatever. Tell me how many tracks it needs to be, and if there are any other rules, send me a tweet and I'll reply after giving it some thought. Robert Farley writes, if you could choose between Dr. Zaius or the librarian as an Australian PM, who would you have? Dr. Zaius is kind of a bit evil, and I mean, you know, he's not that dissimilar to maybe what some politicians are like. But the librarian, I don't know as much about, but I'd have to choose it if they're the two options, because it's not a better the devil you know scenario. I think the librarian might be all right. Maybe he's just a bit cantankerous, but I think he's an all right character. And then, follow-up question, which primate from fiction would win a dance-off? Well, I think The Simpsons, if it taught us anything, that Dr. Seuss, was it Dr. Seuss doing the breakdancing? But any of those characters from The Simpsons one, they could really, they could dance. They could sing. I'd even eat the skin. Wait, okay. Thanks for the, finally saying, this is more of a comment, I think. Thanks for the great shows and excellent guests. 100 perfectly ripe bananas out of 100. That's a very kind score. I'd even eat the skins and wear them as a little hat. You'd eat the skins or wear them as a little hat. Is that weird? Yes, it is, but I'm going to allow it. Kaylee Ann writes, do you think non-human primates have mental health problems? Picturing a monkey at anger management class and it's going terribly. I think they definitely do. From, you know, what I've, the little I've learnt from Erica, they definitely do have mental health problems. They feel anxiety and that sort of stuff. I think Bubbles, I think we learnt that, yeah, he took a while to get over some of the past traumas and whatnot. So yeah, I think that's relatively proven. But geez, a monkey at anger management class going poorly. That's a fun scene to play out. I'd love to see that cartoon. Troy Vinton Brown, love a hyphen name, writes, any tips for lockdown? I've officially been furloughed as of today, and my work was keeping me very busy for the last couple of months, but now I have time for things and try to limit beer to the weekend. Yeah, it probably doesn't seem it, but I've limit beer to not too many a week as well, because that feels like a real trap, being, you know, stuck at home, that if you like a beer or two, that it could get out of hand. So yeah, I made rules about only a couple times a week and that sort of stuff. My tips, I think getting into a routine, having goals each day has helped me. I've had new goals and work towards them, and having setting those goals and just having a routine to work to them. But I would also say, Troy, that it's the kind of thing that is going to be different for everyone, but that sort of thing, enforcing a bit of routine for yourself has definitely helped. And making sure, if you can, getting outside and getting some vitamin D and that sort of stuff as well. Going for a walk if you're allowed. That's been a big help for me for sure. Kalina writes, what do you think the next stage of evolution for humans and apes would be? Will apes get less hairy? Will humans just die off altogether and leave the earth to the animals? I think there's some chance of that, but I imagine if that happens, we'll have taken out a few of the animals with us. And it'll be interesting to see how the earth sort of comes back after that. You know, it'll heal and someone else will come up and probably fuck it up like we sort of have. Like the crabs. You can imagine the crabs, if they get the run of the show, they're not going to make all the best choices either. Yeah, the next stage of evolution for humans, obviously flight, not in a plane, but ourselves will just be able to jump and then fly in the air. I think that's the next step. That can't be fun. Every few generations, there's a big leap forward or something like that. I remember hearing on the X-Men. So, fingers crossed. I get it. I want to be able to fly. Santeri Raikkonen writes, would you consider revisiting Bedtime for Bonzo? The original episode was a bit off as you watched the wrong flick. Maybe one day. We watched the whole second one and then a chunk of the first one from memory. And, I mean, do you really need us to go back and watch that again? I would do it. Remind me when we come back again. I imagine it's a real good film as well. That was another episode I had a lot of fun recording. Oliver Petter Platt, what will you be doing during your time off from primates? Just these other projects that I mentioned before. It already feels like that all the time I'm going to save has been filled in with other stuff already. So it's sort of, even though I'm at home in lockdown, I'm starting to feel the build-up of projects happening, which is fun and good stuff as well. Because, I mean, I've got all this time back from not doing stand-up at night and that sort of thing. But yeah, it's like, you know, Sally's no more gaps. It stuff just feels whatever time I allow. Adam Norman, if you had the chance to communicate with a primate, like really communicate with them, what would you want to know about them and them about you? I'd love to know if they're okay. I'd love to know how they feel. You know, what are they thinking? What's going on in there? What are you thinking in that brain? And yeah, I guess I just want to get to know them, really, and let them know me too. What a beautiful moment it would be. David Hayden, if you had to self-quarantine with a primate in close quarters, which would you choose? This is a popular question. I'm sticking with bonobo. It feels like I'm being grilled by a good cop, bad cop. And you're trying to trip me up, but I'm sticking with the bonobos. Sheehan writes, could Fraser Gehrig beat up an ape in a fight? How many apes? Okay, Fraser Gehrig, the G-Train, was a huge, hulking full forward for the Saints. And I don't think he could beat up an ape. I think no human probably could, but if any human was a chance, he'd be right up there. I think, he definitely, you know, has some of the right attributes. He's just he's a hulking man. At least he was. I haven't seen him in a while. Patrick Ward writes, since Primates is going on hiatus, have you thought about what you might bring it back for a special episode now and again? A new film or TV show? And is Who Knew It with Matt Stewart still going to replace Primates? Yes, I think that's going to happen, the Who Knew It with Matt Stewart. And I'm definitely up for coming back for it. A special here and there for sure. In my mind, I'm thinking getting Jack Druce back to do Kong versus Godzilla later in the year. And even if we are able to get our film up, what do we call it? It was something like Big Vampire versus Count Kong. That's fun. But yes, and Patrick also asks, is there any comedians that you would consider an influence on you and wanting to be a comedian? And if Evan is actually there, he isn't, I'm sorry, because he's a robot. But that's, Patrick said, are there any robots or computers that have influenced him? Oh, I could say yes, definitely. Some of the classic computers and robots did influence him. Comedians, I'd say so many comedians. I think Anthony Morgan in Australia when I was a kid, I remember he's the first one that really made me excited watching TV. I'm like, holy shit, what's going on here? He was on a great debate. And I would have been pretty young. It was the early 90s, early mid-90s. Greg Fleet in Australia as well. A lot of Australian, a lot of my favourite comedians are Australians. In more recent times, Rory Scovel in America, I really enjoyed his special from a couple of years ago. David Quirk's I'm a big fan of, an Aussie comic as well. Yeah, I don't know, long list. It'd be a long, long, long list of comedians who inspire me. But the ones that early days, yeah, Anthony Morgan was a big one. Sean McAuliffe, he wasn't a stand-up, but his comedy was a big influence. I don't imagine you, if you're familiar with Sean, his work. Sorry to call him by his first name there. I do not know the man, but I don't know if there'd be any obvious influence, but he was definitely one of my favorites growing up and still is. And the wild thing is now that my friends Al and Andy work for him and write for him, so that's pretty surreal. John Cole asks, what are some of your favorite non-primate films? Oh, cool. I was thinking about this recently. With Nail and I is a classic. Is one that came to mind when I was talking about that. Uncle Buck, another classic. Get Out, it's an awesome film from a couple of years ago. The King of Kong, that sort of is primate related, and we did talk about it on this show, but that's one of my favorite documentaries ever. Dig, another doco, music doco, that was pretty great, about the Dandy Warhols and the Brian Jonestown Massacre coming up together. Going off in different directions. Heaps of films. They're some of my favorite non-primate films, John. Tim Liggett asks, What's the most surprising primate fact you've learned doing this podcast? Okay. I mean, the fact that there's more... I think early on I thought... You could probably go back and listen to the early episodes. I'm sure I would have said this on the show, but I reckon I thought there were apes and monkeys and that's it. So finding out there's a whole third cutie pie segment with lemurs and all these sorts, that I found very surprising and still sort of blown my mind a little bit. Yeah. But I imagine most people are like, yeah, there's cutie pie primates. Everyone knew that. Just James writes, hope that's your real name. Have you seen Monkey Fist and his monkey ninjas from the Kim Possible cartoon? Monkey Kung Fu Matt, Monkey Kung Fu. No, I have not, but that sounds great. Place to hang your cape? Monkey Kung Fu. Place to hang your cape writes. What was your favorite film or TV show that you watched for primates that you never would have watched otherwise and least favorite? I'd have to go to the bloody list. bad when you have to Google your own fucking show, but let me see if I can do this quickly. There's so many I wouldn't have watched. I never would have watched the King Kong films, I don't think. It feels like eventually you come across. Oh, Kubo and the Two Strings. I never would have watched that. That was sick. I really did like the King Kong films, even though I probably wasn't that kind about them on the show, but I did enjoy them. I didn't particularly like What Did Jack Do, but I, you know, that's what it was, what it was, sort of thing. What else we got here? Would have seen most of them anyway. Pirates of the Caribbean. I thought that was better than I thought it was going to be. I actually quite enjoyed that, and I wouldn't have watched it if it wasn't for this show. I mean, the MVP films were pretty awful, but there was all kind of something fun about that as well. You know, they sort of are what they're meant to be, I think. But yeah, hopefully that kind of answers that question. Dave Burden says, our IPAs oversaturating the craft beer scene. If they have been for a long time. It feels like there's been a movement away from them, if anything. It feels like there's more variety now than a couple of years ago when it felt like everything was IPAs. Now it feels like... I feel like the sours have been on the up for a few years, and that most brewers will have one or two options there as well. And maybe, like, some of them have one or two IPAs. I mean, there's an Australian brewer that does only IPAs, but for the most part, most brewers will have a pretty good range, I think. And maybe it doesn't affect me as much because I like IPAs, but it doesn't feel like they're oversaturating it to me. Although I know that was a bit of a worry a while ago, especially with them just going super hoppy, which I also kind of like. But yeah, if it goes too far that way, then it gets pretty boring and, you know, you lose your sort of... it's hard to drink anything else afterwards and be like, I can't taste this. My mouth has been ruined by hops. Robert Cementi, great name, asks, does any of your talent come from the back lock? Like Samson receives strength from following vows to God in the Bible. I know you receive a boost from the dulcet tones alone, but would you say that the rest mere gifts or gains? This has got to be a quote from something, and I wish I knew what it was, because I'm imagining you're listening to me like a fool right now. Do you just write in beautiful poetry? That's possible as well. No, that quote does not come up on the internet. Okay, damn it. It's just me not being able to understand your flowery, beautiful writing. What is the back lock? I don't even know that. I'm so sorry. What is the back lock? Locky is a 2013 British-American drama film written and directed by Stephen Knight. So maybe it's that. Sorry, I don't think I can answer, but I'd say yes. Wait, what was Samson? Is Samson the one who had the strength from his hair, right, in the Bible? So maybe you're talking about my hair or beard? Then yes, I get a lot of my strength from those things. Drew Pisner, you can invite three primates from history and or fiction to a dinner party. Who do you invite? Well, this is going to sound maybe a bit rough, but I'm going to stick with talking primates from fiction just because, you know, I do like to chat. So I'm going to say Caesar. I'm going to say... can I say Maurice also from the same films? And then if I was going to pick one more, maybe I would go with Harry from Harry and the Hendersons. And I know he can't talk, but he's a character. Deny me that. T. Fazakis says, there's not too many more of these as well if people are... Well, I mean, you can see how long it would be to go. T. Fazakis says, did anyone in your inner circle question that a post 9/11 podcast about apes and popular culture would ever reach 100 episodes? And how do you plan on rubbing it in their face? Yes, they all did. I think a lot, but like, they didn't think I was being serious, which I thought was the fun part of it, was doing a thing that sounded like a joke, but actually doing it. And I know a lot of people have done that anyway, but yeah. I've had a lot of fun doing this podcast, and I won't rub it in anyone's faces. I think a lot of those people have since been on the show. So they've already kind of, they've rubbed their own faces in it. But I love the idea, Mr. Fazakis, and I love your name. Marcos Vasquez, talking about great names. If you had a chance to play any non-human primate in a movie, who would it be, and why is it the detective chimp? Yeah, the detective chimp would be a lot of fun to play. He'd also be a great house guest, I think, depending on the version of him, I suppose. P.S. I've contacted my lawyers and will be countersuing you for the name rights for my children's book, Primates, as you and your boardroom of monkeys have taken too long. You'll be ruined. Damn it. All right. You've got it. You can have the names. I'll write it over to you. You wrote a book called Primates. I'm gonna give it out to you on loan, kind of like the Spider-Man thing. I haven't looked at the small details, but that feels okay. I just want to get most of the money from it. Is that too much to ask? Miguel Acosta, what movie, not featuring any non-human primates, would you improve by adding a human, by adding a primate to the main cast? And which primate? I would add an orangutan to the Fast and the Furious franchise. Yes, I can't beat that. He says, if there is an ape that lives its life a quarter mile at a time, it's the orangutan and it's familiar. Miguel, I can't top that. I think that's fantastic. All right, I think of a film, Home Alone, and I'll replace one of the wet bandits with a chimpanzee. That's fun. What if one's a chimpanzee and one's a gorilla? So you change the Joe Pesci character to a chimp. So the brains of the operation and Daniel Stern, I'm going to say, change him to a gorilla. That's fun. I love it. Love that idea. Thanks, Miguel. Two final ones. This one's from Sophie Shooter. Great name. Are there any beers you could recommend for someone who doesn't typically like beer? It depends on what you do like. I had one earlier tonight that was it was sort of based around a spritzer. It was called like an Aperol spritz. If you like that, then this beer was pretty nice. The sours, I think, are not very beery beers, and some of them quite fruity. I forget where you're from, Sophie. If you're in Australia and you do like fruitier kind of drinks, there's a great one out of Brisbane called the Three Beacons Seven Bells, and it's a passion fruit gozer. And it is delicious. If you like passion fruity sort of stuff, it's a cracker. That's a banger. But yeah, if you message me and tell me the kind of stuff you like, I might be able to give you a tip on something else. And also where you're from, because my knowledge doesn't extend super far past Australian stuff. But maybe the styles I could talk about. Also, this week has been the hardest for me since this all started, so I've been making sure to check in on people. So how are you doing? Oh, that sucks, Sophie. I hope you're doing okay since writing that. It's been a roller coaster. I think I've been pretty lucky in general with my situation and, I've been able to, it's been a bit up and down with, how I've been feeling in my head, but I think in general I've been pretty lucky that I've been able to find a couple of different avenues of work to cover some of the money stresses, which I know has been harder for others, a lot of other people. I don't know. It's just like, it's a huge weight to have on you that the whole world is going through this and thousands of people are dying every day. So yeah, you go through the waves of thinking about it and not thinking about it. But hopefully you're all right, Sophie. Thanks so much for asking. And sorry about that weird rambling response. But in general, I'm okay. Thank you very much. And finally, Catherine Barn writes, can you start a new podcast with Erica Fleury? Maybe branching out from primates to pets, sanctuaries, destruction of habitat, and finding people who are saving habitat, etc. I mean, that's a cool idea. Maybe that's a messenger about doing like a limited run podcast about that sort of stuff. That could be really cool. It's a great idea, Catherine. Thank you so much. What a beautiful note, a thoughtful note to finish on. Thanks so much for joining me, everyone. How long has this been going for? Ay caramba, an hour and a half of me just sitting and talking. I do apologize. I'll get this out now. So if you're hearing this, I've already got it out. You don't need to hear that. And thanks so much for joining us here at the Primates Podcast. It's a bit of a different episode. I'll save the Patreon shout outs and that sort of stuff for next week when we've got some guests in again. But as we always say here at Primates Podcast, champion the dick, buddy, buddy boy. That's hard. I really put the guests on the spot and I feel for them now.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.